You're saying that a $50,000-$60,000 base salaried biz dev rep can generate $1 million, $2 million a year in revenue?
The flywheel effect happens quickly in the real estate world.
That is awesome. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Pursuit of Profit podcast. Today, I'm joined by returning guests, Derek Schumann and Nick Lobert, the founders of Homestretch. If you haven't already, go back and check out our original conversation in episode 19 from February 2024. It'll provide a great foundation for what we covered today. Over the past year, Homestretch has seen explosive growth, surpassing over 100 territories sold across the U.S. Their corporate locations also generating over $2.5 million, and franchisees are scaling fast. The average ticket size jumped from $5,000 to $8,000 in 2024. And one franchisee even closed a single job over $50,000. And this is shown again in their item 19. And I guess the best of all, it's a Monday through Friday business. This is one of those rare business models that delivers strong financials and lifestyle freedom. So let's get into it. Enjoy the show. I'm so happy to have you guys back. I was just talking to Derek. I was letting him know, like, you're the first returning guest to the show. So welcome back.
Oh, that's awesome. I love you.
Yeah. We have not had anyone return, not for any other reason other than there's just so many brands, you know, to interview. And a lot of brands, quite frankly, if they did come back on, my reaction would be, what are you coming back on for? Like, what's the development? What's the news? In your case, you have experienced remarkable growth, enviable growth for any franchise system. I don't care if you're embryonic. I don't care if you're mid-size. Even if you're a larger brand, your growth in 2024 is just phenomenal. And your item 19 earnings claim blew me away 14 months ago. And I'm blown away now. I can't believe what you guys are doing. I want to dig into it. I also, for the audience's sake, I want you to know that we're going to probably do an abbreviated interview because we had already interviewed Homestretch,
yeah.
both Derek and Nick, and they first appeared on the show February of 2024. And I encourage everyone listening, please go back to episode 19. That's the episode that they originally appeared on. They told us everything about their brand. Very unique. We loved it then. I made a lot of comments. I re-listened to that show. I don't know if you guys have. I made a lot of comments. I made a lot of predictions about you, your growth, your character, your abilities, right? Your tech savvy. And I'm happy to report, because some videos don't age well for people, you guys exceeded everything that I said on that original episode on episode 19. So listeners, go back to episode 19, then listen to this episode. So that you could get the context of how powerful this interview is going to be. So why don't we begin with just what do you do again, right? Let's just do that so that the audience is like, okay, I remember this one. And just tell us what you do. I know your backgrounds. You guys are dear friends. We know all that. And they'll get that out of episode 19. But just level set the audience, your brand, the name, what do you do? And really, what prompted you guys to say, let's get back on the show? We got something to tell.
Yeah, absolutely. So high level, what we do is we make life transitions easier. And we do that by offering five core cosmetic services when you're going through a life transition, whether it be death, divorce, downsize, relocation. We do home clear outs. We do painting. We do flooring. We do landscaping. And we do home cleaning. So think of if you're going through one of those situations, you got to call 5, 8, 9, 10 different people just to get quotes. And by the time they're going to get all those quotes gathered, I'm going to be able to get the quote, start the job, finish the job before you even get all those quotes. So we help people going through stressful life transitions, making their houses improved cosmetically and increasing the value of the home. Because at the end of the day, the three things that sell houses: price, condition, location. That's right. What sells properties. We work on the condition to improve the condition as best we can.
I also remember there were no employees. All of these services were subcontracted. Is that still the case?
Yeah. Our best practice as the market matures is they'll probably get into a hybrid model where bringing employees might make sense. But when you're first getting off the ground in those critical early months and you're trying to grow your business, we utilize a lot of our national partnerships to help with the core services, partnerships like Sherwin-Williams on painting and flooring side. And then a great company called People Ready, which has helped us, you know, bring great quality people to help us with clear outs and landscaping and cleaning and some of those more general labor tasks.
When you guys were on the show 14 months ago, you literally opened up the episode with Justin asked you, do you guys even have a franchisee yet? And you're like, we actually just closed one about 3 weeks ago, and it was in Fort Wayne. And I think that same person bought locations in Tampa, but I'm not sure. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's correct.
Right. Okay.
They
All right.
pretty much bought out the entire Tampa market after they had their initial success at Fort Wayne.
Okay. So that's really one franchisee, right? So it's multi-unit, but one franchisee 14 months ago. How many deals have you closed over the 14-month period?
Territory-wise, we're at 112 as of today, with a couple more coming on next week. And then we're at 49 individual franchisees. So it's been a pretty rapid growth year.
Unbelievable. What do you attribute that growth to?
I think, you know, home stretch resonates really well with people. Like, it's one of those simple concepts that on the surface, everybody loves real estate. Everybody can understand kind of the situation that you're selling your house, how stressful that can be, or, you know, your mom's going into assisted living. So it really resonates with a certain type of person. And then, you know, I think we've done a really good job trying to attract the right type of people into our community and build a great culture where we have really strong validators. We have franchisees that are in their first year of business, having a lot of success and really enjoying what they're doing. And it's one of those things where, you know, you kind of get the momentum going with a really good business model, a concept that's easy to understand, and then a really strong community. And a lot of people want to be a part of it. And we're just fortunate enough to kind of be in this position right now.
It's crazy growth.
And I'll add to that as well. Repl-M has done a great job. Love working with Repl-M. They've taken that whole sales pipeline off of our plates so we can really focus on the success of our franchisees. And then also, we just believe in full transparency. Certain people, they might really want the franchise, but it might not be the right fit for them now because they're looking for more passive income. And that's not this business. You know, you get what you put into it. It's not mailbox money. So we're just very transparent with people and just try to do the right thing at every turn we can.
Right. I love that. When on the original episode, we made comments. So Justin and I had an opinion that we did, looking at the softening, if you will, of the real estate market, we did not want to be invested in any businesses that relied on the actual transaction. And what I loved about what you were doing is you're pre-transaction profitable, right? You have nothing to do with the transaction. You're trying to encourage, enhance a transaction. You're trying to expedite the transaction versus the home inspection company. The home inspector franchisee is sitting there waiting for some type of activity to occur, for a real estate transaction to occur. You're on the other side of the fence saying, no, man, we're killing it regardless if the house sells or not, essentially. And I know the core model is we're going to help you sell the home faster and at a premium. I get that. But I loved your model for those distinctive reasons that you're not relying on the transaction to occur to make a living. You're on the other side of that. And I love it. And everything we said in that episode is actually happening now. Look at your rapid growth. Look at your earnings claim. Look at what's happening. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Most brands will never reach 100 in a lifetime. I don't know if you know that.
We were told that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was like 3% or something like that.
It's a fact.
Which is, we were unaware of that. So we're honored, you know, to be in that club.
It is an exclusive club. And I actually heard that. I used to work for a private equity firm owned by Fred DeLuca. And he was the founder of Subway. And he was at an annual convention. And he got up to the podium. And he's like, do you realize that most brands will never see 100 locations? And like, we have like 30 at the time, it was maybe 30,000 locations. And it was like, man, that's so true. And then if you further this exclusive club comment, if you look at all, let's call it firms, businesses in the United States, call it 34 million, I think is the approximate number. You guys could look it up. If you take 34 million companies, solopreneurs, right, small business, medium-sized business, large companies, I think 94 to 96% of them will never hit $1 million ever in a lifetime. Think about that. So and then there's you guys. So you guys are checking some boxes, man. People really should pay more attention to this brand. I think it's what I refer to as asymmetrical, low investment, short ramp to break even, right? De-skilled labor, very few employees. You've got that subcontractor model. You can create the hybrid. You have limited to no inventory. You don't walk in a warehouse and see tens of thousands of dollars sitting in inventory. Your cash is paid on demand of the service being performed. It's recession resilient. You're not relying on the transaction. I fucking love that. Like, there's a lot to love.
We need you to come start selling with us.
You said that last time. Yeah. Look, when I like something, at least you're consistent. I'm consistent. There are things that resonate with me, and those things should resonate with investors. And if investors put enough time into what they want, right, and understanding the market from a top down or a bottom up, if someone actually committed to, instead of being emotional and be like, oh, my friend owns that, he goes on vacation 4 times a year, I should buy it. Slow down. What do you want? Why are you here? What makes a great business opportunity, right? And then start going after it and being disciplined to say, nope, too many employees. No, that now, say, I'll share something with you guys, and we're putting it in our book, which is called Beyond the Brand. It's going to get published in September. And we use a term over years called de-skilled labor. And everyone said this, you mean unskilled. And I said, no, I'm talking about de-skilled labor. They're like, I never heard the term. Exactly. Because de-skilled labor is not the same as unskilled. In an era of quantum computing, robotics, Optimus bots, humanoids, robots, you will be in a business where you're going to replace de-skilled labor with AI and robotics and humanoids. It's happening. It's going to happen in your business. It's going to happen in a lot of businesses. I like businesses like that. I could get a humanoid to pick up heavy things and carry them to a truck and haul them away. It's very simple. Very simple. Like 1-800-GOT-JUNK will evolve into a guy driving and a humanoid helper. And that helper will never be sick and blah, blah, blah. You get the drill. So de-skilled labor is so important, and you guys are in that space. Love it. What I want to, and I don't know that you answered this. What made you want to come back? Your words, not mine. Like, why did you say we got to get back in the show? What do you want to share with the audience?
I think, you know, Nick and I are humble by nature. We're not great at self-promotion, but we are very passionate about Homestretch. And we think it's the perfect opportunity for somebody who wants to create a big business, wants to create that empire, wants to get their hands in the soil and actually create something from the ground up and experience what it's really like to be an entrepreneur. So you have an incredible podcast. We really enjoyed it last time and the questions you asked. And I think you have a really good sense of, you know, good opportunities, what makes a good business. So we want to get out there and just kind of share the success that we've had over the last 12 months, which it's been a wild ride. And we just love getting our story out there to people that we respect.
You've heard from some incredible franchise brands right here on the podcast. If you're sitting there wondering which opportunity might be the right fit for you, we're here to help. At Phrenosity, we offer free consulting services to aspiring small business owners just like you. We'll guide you through a focused, strategic process to help you identify the best franchise match. Call or text us at 561-277-3710 or visit us on the web at phrenosity.com. That's phrenosity.com. We look forward to working with you. Talk to me a little bit about how new franchisees are opening up anywhere in America and acquiring homeowners to perform these services. How are you guys doing that and doing it quickly?
Yeah. So the first aspect is obviously teaching them all the systems, all the playbooks, all the processes, getting all of your stuff in line so you're ready to launch. The minute they sign, we will move as fast as that franchisee wants to move. If they want to go through systems the next day, we'll do it. Sales, ops, marketing. So we try to get, we call it pre-training. We want to get as much of the administrative stuff out of the way prior to them training. Right. Then during training, we're really doing a deep dive into all aspects of the business. And when they get back to their hometown on Monday, they are ready to hit the ground They have all that administrative stuff taken care of, and they're ready to go out and start creating those relationships with the realtors and educating them on the services that we offer. So that's really the biggest way we've been able to move pretty darn quickly. So that's the process that we like to do. Everything we do is based on speed. That's why Homestretch works so well. If you call one of our franchisees, you'll have a quote in your hands in 24 hours, and they'll be able to start the project within a couple days. You know, that's the standard that we have to stick with. So everything we do is predicated on speed with Homestretch.
Walk me through, are you just randomly reaching out to realtors, or are you saying through data and research, you have four homes for 180 days on the market? We're going to help you collapse time, sell that house, and at a premium. How are you actually making that introduction? Or no, we're not doing that. We're reaching out to realtors, telling them what we do, and then they tell us, hey, man, I got a house sitting 220 days. I need to move it. Let me get with the homeowner. Walk me through this.
Yeah, so it depends on the market. When it's a seller's market, typically the homes aren't sitting for 180, 220 days. The general approach is doing presentations to realtors at their offices on Tuesday mornings, and then also calling the agents individually and educating them on it. And it's not just, hey, we offer these services. It's what's the problem that we solve? Mm-hmm. Well, we make life transitions easier. So that's the first part. We make their jobs easier and the client's jobs easier. Sometimes when the client, if it's more of a buyer's market and the home hasn't sold in 180 days, they may decide to pull it off the market, neutralize it, have us do the work, and then put it back on. We've kind of seen that shift in Cincinnati a little bit, and that's a good sign for us. That's when you can't just list anything and sell it. You have to have it in the proper condition. So when it gets to that point, that makes us really excited. So we have seen a handful of those in the spring and fall of last year.
We also made an investment in a platform that allows us to get really granular on who the top brokerages and agents are in any geographic location. And our franchisees have access to that. So it's not like you're just blindly, you know, going on Google and trying to figure out who the top realtors are. Like, we have a very curated list. We know who the top agents are, the top brokerages are, who the top listing agents are on the buy side, you know, who the players are. And it gives our franchisees a little more direction to start pounding the pavement.
Yeah, there's Pareto's rule, right? The 80-20. And then there's like a realtor rule, which I think is 95-5, right? Right? There's a totally different realtor rule. I think 5% do 95% of the transactions. Don't quote me. You would know better. Am I close?
Probably, yeah.
No kidding.
I mean, the good thing about our business, though, is you don't necessarily need to be the number one agent in a location to need Homestretch. Like, we can service any type of agents. Agents that might have two or three listings a year. Well, if that agent caters to the more senior community, and maybe they're just doing it as passive income or whatever their situation is, like, those clients need us probably more than anybody. So forming a relationship with even the lower volume agents does pay off in spades, because we really help those agents out just because their clients are in a different situation than most.
That's great. So what are you seeing? Like, you guys, you are transparent, extremely. I read your item 19. It's insanely transparent, and it's very granular. What are you seeing when a franchisee opens? Give me, like I used to like to measure days to dollar, right? So when we were in restoration, we would train a franchisee, we would put them in the field, and the clock starts. How many days to generate a dollar? Guy calls up, hey, just closed my first deal, $5,000 water loss. Great. 6 days to dollars, right? What are you seeing in days to dollars? What are you seeing in the acquisition of new clients? How are franchisees ramping up and getting to break even? What can you share? I know, and by now the audience knows, there's FTC rules. You can't just answer every question I ask, and I get it, and I respect that. So answer what you can. And again, anyone listening that's saying they were evasive, no, they're not. They're following the letter of the law under the FTC. They can only answer questions that are in their item 19. So go ahead, guys.
It runs a spectrum, as you can imagine. And, you know, a lot of it involves timing and luck when you reach out to a specific agent that might have a need for you in that very moment. So we always tell our franchisees, like, this isn't a sprint. Like, this is a marathon. And some of you are going to get out of the blocks faster. But as long as we're doing the activities and following the playbook, we're all going to get to the finish line. And that's all we really care about. Right. So some of our franchisees have just done the activities, followed the playbook to the letter of the law, and they've exceeded expectations that we could only dream about when we were starting this business 6 years ago. We had one franchisee that literally left training last Friday, and on her fourth day got a deal that I obviously can't share the number, but the size of it was something that, like, if you asked Nick and I 2 years ago, if anybody could get something like that, we would have laughed our heads off. It was just such a ridiculous notion, but she got it. So again, we're seeing those success. I think everybody that's really embracing the activity part of it and understanding that home stretch does work best when you're an active business owner and you're taking pride kind of in building these relationships, the results will come from there. But again, you know, as long as you're following the playbook and doing the activities, like, we know the need is out there and you're going to ultimately get to where you need.
What did she do? You have to know the backstory.
I do. Yeah. I mean, she was a former chief of police. So a background of somebody that had deep ties to the community, kind of the common variable that we found in people that have the most success is they're just great relationship builders. So she kind of had community ties. People were excited about her bringing this business. She did a great job on some of the pre-training activities of getting the word out, tapping into her network. So when she did formally launch, she had a couple deals or quotes ready to rock. And fortunately for her, one of those hit and we're proud of her. It was awesome.
That's unbelievable. That is what's the average ticket today? I know it was around $5,000 on the first episode. What are we looking at today?
It's around $8,000. I don't have FDD in front of me, but yeah, we had bigger deals from last year with our franchisees than we ever thought possible. And they're getting out of the gates faster than we ever could ourselves. And that's, I think, the benefit of the franchisee network, right? Like, Nick and I made all the mistakes. We spent all the money kind of learning what not to do. And we kind of try to distill that into a nice tight package. And the people are following it and getting faster than we ever could.
Such a great statement. That's what prospective franchisees don't understand. That sounds easy. I could just do that myself. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. When you look at the amount of money that these two gentlemen have invested in this brand, the amount of mistakes that they made, the unintended consequences of some of those mistakes could put an average person out of business forever. That's why I just think this is one of the easiest ways to create wealth is joining a franchise. So I love what you just said. Do you guys know what it costs to acquire a customer?
We're a little different. Our model is not spend $10,000 on Google Ads. You know, it is building relationships with realtors. So in our FDD, you have to have a full-time business development person in the business and a full-time project manager. It's a two-person business. Otherwise, your revenue just yo-yos because you sell, then you manage projects, pipeline dries up, you got to go back and forth. So, you know, two full-time people. So really, it's up to the business development person to develop these relationships with those realtors. And then kind of the sky's the limit from there. And what you're doing is you're digging a moat around your business because you actually have a relationship with the agent and with the client. It's not just someone who picked you off of Google and just a random click and they don't know you from John. So we really like that. So we don't have like a specific number of, you know, this cost per customer. I think Derek probably will have a more eloquent answer than myself.
No, you're doing great, man.
Yeah, it's really based on that business development representative.
So we have that overhead of, it's a labor cost. Yep. They're out there pressing the flesh, right? Kissing the babies, meeting people. This is who I am. This is what we do. This is what it means to you. Running around town, making it rain.
A lot of our new franchisees like that because they're betting on themselves. You know, they're putting that onus on themselves and not on a Google spend. And if a competitor comes into town, outspends you, or Google changes their algorithm or whatever happens, they like that because it's in their hands, not someone else's. It's not heavily reliant on advertising dollars.
I'm glad you brought it up because I started out with it was a subcontracting model. And for clarification, and stop me if I'm wrong, the subcontracting piece is you're not doing the landscaping or the painting or the flooring or the junk removal or the house cleaning. That you're subbing out. The biz dev person, the project management, right, is obviously an in-house, you know, W-2 employee. Yeah. I appreciate you clarifying that because when I present the idea, I'm like, this is a subcontractor model minus those two employees. Yeah. What are you paying a person? But what's a biz dev person getting salary as a range across the country? What are you seeing?
It's area by area, as you can imagine. We like to pay like a higher base salary. We don't really do much variable comp as a best practice, especially on the sales side, because we want to align our salespeople to do what's best for the client, which is going to benefit the market over the long term. So you don't want to go into grandma's house and try to upsell her on services that don't help her get the best return on investment. So for a base salary for, say, a project manager, again, market by market specific, it's going to be in that 50K, 60K band.
Okay.
And typically, we're looking for younger individuals. Like, we like the soft skills when we're bringing on this position. You know, somebody that's a problem solver, can multitask, this cool under pressure, somebody that's punctual and is great with customers. Like, those are the type of skills we're attracted to because they're going to build a good foundation of culture and customer service. This isn't a position that needs to have 20 years of construction experience because everything we're doing is very cosmetic in nature and we can teach that person what to do in a very short period of time. So when you kind of go younger, you can get some pretty good talented people that don't want to be behind a desk. They want to be out and about, work with their hands, and that pay range works for them. And on the biz dev side, it's a little bit similar. Like, again, we're not looking for boiler room type of individuals that are just going to grind the phones and do hard sales. We're looking for people that love building relationships, people that love helping people, people that love empathy and design and being in houses. And you can kind of get away with that same band and get great people because, you know, maybe they don't like their job or aren't satisfied with it because they're selling insurance or something that just doesn't scratch their itch. We've had a lot of success kind of finding those type of folks.
I like that. That's not a bad salary range either. Let me understand something relative to the item 19. How many biz dev people do I need to generate your item 19 earnings claim? Is that multiple people?
That was Wong.
Really?
For our market, we just added a second person in the fall of 2024, like the end of kind of beginning of winter timeframe. And so we have a second business development person on the team, and we're seeing great results because of adding that second person to the team.
Wait a second. You're saying that a $50,000, $60,000 base salaried biz dev rep can generate $1 million, $2 million a year in revenue?
The flywheel effect happens quickly in the real estate world.
That is awesome.
Yeah. If you start servicing 5, 6, 7 agents in one office and you're doing a really good job, they will spread the word because the need is massive. Every realtor needs good contractors to help get those houses ready to sell. And they're looking for someone who's reliable, who will show up, answer the phone, and do what they say they're going to do. And that's our promise. And we stick to it. It works. I tell all my new franchisees, I go, if you boil this business down pretty simply, it's create leads, close leads, wow the clients, and wow the realtors. Rinse and repeat. Keep doing that, and you will be successful.
You know, typically a project manager can service between 15 and 20 jobs on a given month. And if you're saying it's an $8,000 average ticket, that's about, you know, $160 in monthly revenue. So, you know, you kind of scale the business through the project management position. So when you kind of eclipse that number of deal flow, that's when you bring on the second one. So in our parent market, Cincinnati's market, we have two project managers doing, you know, all that revenue that you see there.
What attributed to a significant increase in the average ticket? How do you go from 5 to 8? And not change any of the services? How do you do that?
Our franchisees really took to selling this concept and pitching it probably more efficiently than we ever could. So, you know, in 2023, we just had our parent, or, you know, Columbus, Cincinnati, and Indianapolis are corporate locations. And then 2024, we added all these great franchisees, some of which are in major markets like Dallas and, you know, some of these hotter ticket items. And the dollars that they're generating were just well beyond anything Nick and I could ever do. I don't think Nick and I ever got a deal over $20,000 until maybe year one. And some of these folks are just getting out of the ground, you know, generating those left and right. So I think they've done a much better job of positioning the services and the value that we're adding and reaching the right realtors because of all the tools and processes that we put in place. Yeah. And yeah, it's working. It's great.
That's incredible. That really is. You say so many things that just spark all these conversations we have with our clients. You know, a lot of people be like, you know, if you look at franchising, right? Now, let's just say you two didn't franchise it. You would be going along the way you always were. But then you decided on this methodology called franchising. And what instantly happens? More intelligence, new perspective, new blood, new life experiences come to the table, and they start not deviating from the model. They just start challenging and trying to enhance it. And that's what I love about franchising. It's just awesome. A lot of people don't know that. I bet you half the menu at McDonald's, that business is a license to just print billions. Half the menu is created by guys that are franchisees. No one in the executive office in Illinois. It's crazy.
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's actually read a story about the Filet-O-Fish was invented from a Cincinnati McDonald's franchisee. And there was that, or it was a pineapple burger. And it was meant for on Fridays during Lent. That was the reason they came up
with it. That's
right. And but you're exactly right. When we first started doing training, having these new franchisees, having them do their presentations, having them do their cold call pitches, it was refreshing, because it's like, I've been in an echo chamber selling for myself for 5 years, and I heard people have different spins on it. And I'm like, oh, I love that. That's great. I'm going to steal that and use that. And
exactly.
And same thing, it really just breeds that collective intelligence, which helps. And Derek and I don't have egos. Yeah, we created this. We love our business. We're passionate about it. But if someone has a better angle or a better way to perform something, we are all ears.
That's a franchisor right there, right? No ego, checked at the door. I want my baby to grow and be the best brand in this category. And I love what you said in that last episode. It's like, Google it, Xerox it. You didn't home stretch it? Yeah. You got to home stretch it. Yeah, what's the matter? You know, you can't get what you want? You should really home stretch it. It's like, you know what? You're right. I'm going to give him a call. I love that. And you know what I never asked you on the last episode, and I'm curious now, is lifestyle. Are you guys 7 days a week, 5 days a week? What's the hours of operation for a business like this?
When we built this business, you know, Nick and I had families. His wife is pregnant with their third boy. My wife just had our second boy. So we knew right off the bat that we wanted to have a good work-life balance when we built the company, because, you know, we love our kids, we love our family. Outside of our business, our family is the most important thing that we have. So we kind of structured this business to ensure that Nick and I are home, you know, every day around 5:15 to have dinner with our kids. We're both active coaches for youth sports. Nick's lacrosse, I'm lacrosse and basketball. Nick does best. So we're always doing all that stuff. And it's important, because I think it makes us better franchisors, better business owners, because we have stability in our personal life that we can use, you know, to make our business better. And we tell all of our franchisees, like, the best thing about being an entrepreneur is that you can create the culture and you can create the business into anything that you ultimately want. So if family is important and a work-life balance is important, you can structure that. And we've done that, and we have a playbook to do it exactly how we did it. So you can be home 5 nights a week. Am I logging on after my kids go to bed to work on stuff? Of course I am. But I love this business. This is more of a hobby to me than anything. I'd be working, you know, all the time on this. Sometimes we do stuff on the weekend, but it's in the bigger vein of getting this business to where we want to go. But, you know, first and foremost, we want that work-life balance. We want our franchisees to have that work-life balance. If they're working 80, 90 hours a week, it means they haven't structured it properly. Right. We want to work with them to kind of get the pieces in place so they can have that balance, because we know they're going to be better business owners at the end of the day.
We work really hard, 8 to 5. Yeah, I'll take a call. If there's a problem on a property, I'll answer the phone at 6 or 7 o'clock. But I really try to be present, you know, when we're home with our kids and not working all the time, because it can consume you if you allow it to. But we've set those boundaries, and we work really hard 8 to 5. And, you know, family is the most important thing for us, and that's business. And we just grind on both of them.
I don't know if you're putting enough emphasis in your marketing material, but I encourage you to do it, because we're working with clients every single day, multiple times a day. They want their life back. They do. That's why COVID was a reset button. And now no one wants to go back to the airport. Nobody wants to fly for work. Nobody wants to do it anymore, because they got a taste of some freedom. So I love what you guys are doing. You had me at 5 days a week. We're home for dinner. Love it, guys. Really make sure that's in the marketing material, because believe it or not, yes, your earnings claim is awesome. Yes, your investment level is in line, but you could close a deal just on lifestyle, which I want to talk about.
I appreciate
that. Totally, totally. You have me. Investment range. Where are we today relative to last year? Has that changed?
It's pretty much the same. There's some slight adjustments here or there, but the range is, I think, almost identical to what it was prior year.
I'm showing 109 to 177
I think it was 107 the year before. So somewhere in that range. So there's a couple marketing tweaks here and there that, you know, just as we learn more information, we updated it.
Okay. Anything unique in that investment range? Yes, they must buy this. They have to do this vehicle, this wrap, this anything. Anything?
You need a work truck. So that's kind of the one big expense, whether you buy or lease it, that we want to wrap. There's no physical office requirement outside of a storage unit, just to put some equipment and materials. So we want to keep everyone's fixed cost low so they can focus all their ammunition on growing the business. And then as the business matures, you know, whether or not somebody wants to buy commercial space, that's something that just smart business ownership. But we want to keep those fixed costs as low as we possibly can.
Yeah. Okay, great. Two employees. And typically what we're seeing is the franchise owner takes one of the roles, whether it's project management or sales. Right. If they take sales, they have to hire project management within 90 days because it's just, frankly, it's not a one-person position. You just can't get to that north of $1 million with one person. That's when you end up working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and get burnout. If they're the project manager, they hire the sales side. So that'd be another thing. Within 90 days, two full-time employees in the business.
All right. Love it. Let's close the episode out with any announcements you want to make, of course, but I'd like to close it out with this item 19. Can you guys explain in your words what's going on in this very robust item 19?
Yeah, it's, you know, when we first started franchising, we wanted to put all the cards on the table just of how the business is performing because we know how big of a decision it is for people. And we want their eyes to be wide open so they can figure out whether or not this is a good opportunity for them. So the last thing we ever wanted to do is try to restrict information and then people get into the system and are surprised because we didn't talk about profitability or revenue or some of that thing. So we have full P&Ls for our corporate locations. And then we have some key performance indicators for all of our franchisees that were operational in 2024, how much revenue they generated month by month when they started, the number of deals that they had, their average ticket, their close percentage. Again, so everyone can see what to expect when they walk in the door for that first critical year. You can see some of the seasonality where December is going to dip down, as we know in the business. And then they can use that information and ideally model out what they expect their business to do. And that's just kind of a fundamental philosophy that Nick and I have believed in since we started this business and something we want to continue to have out there. And, you know, if somebody looks at it and decides it's not for them, we're comfortable with that.
Right.
Because, you know, we'd rather have it that way than they get in the door and then are surprised by something.
Share some of the highlights from this average. Did you guys actually do a median or an average just to take the aggregate and say, hey, this is the median? What is the average or median of the brand, whatever number you want to share?
Yeah. So I think, you know, part three is one that I always like to look at. It shows when each of our franchisees opened, how many days of operation they had, what their average invoice was, the high invoice that they generated, low and median, and then, you know, what is above the median price there. So you can see some of the high invoice tickets that some of our franchisees were generating. Like, for instance, I'm looking at Fort Wayne, Indiana, did $49,000 in one deal. That's higher than any of our affiliate locations ever achieved throughout all of our 6 years, much less 2024. So all that stuff's exciting for us. It just shows us that, you know, we're training these franchisees more efficiently than we ever could. They're hitting the street with better messaging and they're reaching levels that we could only dream of when we started this business.
Wow, that's wild. With an average ticket of $8,000 exceeding, you know, $40,000-$50,000. That's an outlier.
Yeah.
What's the average gross revenue on an annualized basis per location or per affiliate, however you want to just deliver it?
So we do it by month. At least we do it in part two by month. So month by month, you can kind of see the fluctuations. And we wanted to do that just to kind of highlight some of the seasonality in the business. But average can be anywhere $40,000 months, $30,000 months. We're hitting, you know, across the franchisee network in part two.
Okay.
And again, the key thing to remember is that all of these franchisees are less than a year in business. So they're just trying to figure things out. You know how, well, you know, just like we do, that first year is critical. And, you know, a lot of it's just kind of putting the foundation in place to grow. So we're expecting these results in year two and year three to really start materializing as some of these relationships are formed and the processes are ironed out and the machine is operating to its full potential.
Yeah. And our biggest goal was year one for these franchisees, we want them to perform better than our year one. High average ticket, more mm-hmm. revenue. And there has definitely been, you know, average ticket, no brainer. Our average ticket in year one was close to $2,000, you know, 2,100. They're exceeding that. There's a lot of them that are doing better than we were doing in year one. Like you discussed earlier, collapsing time. That yeah. was our number one goal, is how do we expedite this process so they don't go through those learning curves that we did and make all those mistakes. So we're seeing that happen in action, and it's really cool to see. Like that's my favorite part of the business, is seeing someone, you know, week three, week four, that maybe they're a little discouraged. They're not moving as quick as they want. They put right. their head down, they keep working, they're coachable, they listen. And then month six, it pops for them. And they're like, there it is. Okay, I'm on it now. And then, you know, success brings more success. They get those wins and they keep building on them, and snowball effect starts happening.
Yeah.
That's the best thing to see. It's so much, so enjoyable.
Absolutely. I love that. I call it tactful persistence in the face of rejection. Just keep at it, keep doing it, don't stop. And it'll happen. It's amazing. If you play in traffic, you get hit. Just stay out there, stay true to the model, and it'll happen. Too many people give up right before the finish line. They just get discouraged. They can't handle it. They don't have the intestinal fortitude to be self-employed, some people. And it's like, stay at it. Don't quit. Just keep doing what you're doing. It'll click. And it does.
That's the good thing of having a sales background, is you get really used to rejection on a daily basis really quickly.
That's right.
So it's not anything new. It's like, oh, just keep going. It'll eventually, someone will, they'll get the message or tweak your message, or, you know, you got to be flexible as well.
Yeah, totally. Any announcements you want to make on the show? Anything we missed?
No, we're excited for a great year. 2025 is already off to an incredible start. We're adding more and more people every month. And more importantly for us, they meet kind of our criteria of quality and culture. And again, continuing to add really smart folks to this brain trust that are going to bring us bigger and better ideas. So we're continually assessing new technologies, you know, new partnerships we want to bring into the network. That's what Nick and our team are focused on almost exclusively, is what we can do, where we can invest our dollars to make our franchisees' lives easier. And we have some exciting stuff in the works on that front that hopefully will roll out in the coming months. So it's going to be a good year. We're excited about it.
What's the Fran Dev budget, Derek? What do you guys have for 2025? How many deals do you want
to
do?
We're off to a better start than we did last year. So that's encouraging. You know, our Q1 was a little higher than our Q1 of 24. Q2 looks great. We almost did 100 licenses in 1 year last year. I would assume if we keep going the path we're going, we'll eclipse 200 by the end of the year. But at the end of the day, whether that number is 140 or 240, it's more about having the right people in the right spaces than just pure growth. We do not just say yes to everybody. Sometimes it's protecting themselves from themselves.
Absolutely.
Sometimes they don't want this type of business. So we're okay with that. We'll have an open conversation with you. Are you willing to do X, Y, and Z? If you're not, it's not the right brand for you. If you are, let's work together. But really, from the beginning, it was the right people, not just pure growth. That was always our goal.
Yeah. Well, you guys have the right attitude. I really appreciate you guys coming on the show. I expect big news this year from this brand. I think you guys are going to absolutely kill it. And don't forget about us little guys when a PE firm swoops in and wants to gobble you up.
Stop.
I like that. Oh, stop it.
Come on, Cliff.
No, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. You guys are going big time. I love it. Good for you. I really appreciate you taking the time out to be on the show again. And maybe we should do this. We'll have an annual check-in. We'll make this a tradition.
We love that, Cliff. Yeah, we love being part of this show. You do a great job. And yeah, we're honored to be here. So thank you for having us back again.
Thank you both. You guys have a great weekend. Enjoy, and thank you for your time today.
All right, Cliff. Have a great one.
See you, bud. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to like and subscribe so you never miss out on more great content. And if you're considering investing in a franchise, whether it's the brand you featured today or another opportunity, we're here to help. Visit us at franocity.com. That's FRANOCITY.com. We love to help you take that next step towards business ownership.